my framework for everything I do right now in my life is about investing in women. Not because I'm anti-male, because I believe that diversity brings better outcomes for me, for Joe, for Steve and Tom, all of us.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joanna Arisman.
And I'm Leah Alter.
And this is Women Share, a celebration of women in financial services. Today, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Extella, the home for financial professionals who believe that people make the biggest difference.
If you're looking for a network of firms that elevates every experience for their professionals and their clients, check out Extella today at go.extella.com/womenshare. That's go.extella.com/womenshare. Today, we are so excited. We are joined by Koki Cox, founder and CEO of AlphaVest LLC. Koki is a pioneer in the financial services industry who since 1996 has supported both individuals and institutional clients, helping them navigate the financial and work-life maze. At AlphaVest, Koki has built an all-female financial firm that is committed to redefining wealth management while creating a space for women advisors to thrive and have a voice at the table. Koki is a mother, author, business owner, and financial samurai who loves food, wine, travel, and alpine mountaineering and channels her passion for empowering women in every venture. We are so excited to get into it today with you, Koki. Welcome to Women Share.
Thank you so much. I got to tell you, ladies, one of my favorite things to do is to have conversations about investing in women, not just investing, but investing in women. So I loved the opening with the sponsor. It's just so well aligned. So I'm appreciative to be here today. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for joining us. We're in season two, you know, and we've been doing this for a little while, but it's just so energizing to have these conversations with like-minded women. And I'm excited for, you know, to get into your story, and congrats on being our first guest whose interests include alpine mountaineering. Let's start though, like on the professional side of things. And we're curious to hear what brought you into financial services. Has this always been a passion of yours, or are you like many of our guests where you never expected to end up in this industry? But have found yourself here. We'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, you know, the answer is no. This was not my passion. And, you know, I love whatever that commencement soundbite is that's floating around that is, you know, you don't have to be passionate about what you do, just be good at it. And so I think that's, you know, some good advice, you know, for those, you know, as entering college or deciding, do they want to go into finance or what do they want to do? It doesn't necessarily have to be your passion, because you can also leave your passion for, you know, after work activities. So no, this was not my passion, but I would tell you something, it certainly has become that, because, you know, a mom of two girls and finding myself almost 30 years into an industry that is just fraught with problems and issues, including, you know, inclusivity and gender parity. So it has, after 30 years, become super passionate, but it didn't always start that way. And I believe you got an one of the books, Perfect Day. I always love telling and answering this question with the story of me fighting and still fighting my publisher on the title of Perfect Day. Because the working title was, I majored in finance so I wouldn't get screwed. So that is literally how I ended up in finance. I wanted to be a doctor, and my family doctor, and dear friend to our family, almost a father to me, said, no, you can't go into the medical field for all the reasons we know. And so I majored in finance so I wouldn't get screwed. So that's basically what led me into this life. And you know, I've been here 29, almost 30 years. And yes, it has become passionate, but it didn't start that way. So I love for young women and women in college, or even those who are looking for a pivot late in life, this can be a career you have passion in, because we certainly get to help a lot of people along the way. So it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I love the original title. I'm not going to lie.
I swear I'm going to republish under the old name. So it's happening.
As marketers, like, that's a great hook. Like, it, I'm definitely being like, let me read the back of that book. That's awesome. Well, let's talk about the book. It's called Perfect Day, A Guide for Overcoming Lifestyle Deficit Disorder. In the book, you're helping people reclaim their business, their relationships, their life. What really inspired you to write the book, and how has becoming an author helped your business? How has it helped you kind of connect with your clients in a different way?
Well, there's a lot of answers therein. I will say, advice-wise, with respect to being an author, it's definitely one of those. If you're a motivated and a goal-oriented person who, you know, wants to check some boxes, I would have a great regret had I not written the book, and I've got probably 10 more inside of me. So that's been great. But I do often say that, you know, it's an expensive business card. So yeah, has the book been good for me? Certainly. Was it a New York Times bestseller? No. And I didn't certainly enter into the idea of writing the book with that in mind. Thankfully, my favorite book review was a very well written, highly acclaimed author. And I was mortified when she read the book and she said, "Koki, the world has enough Shakespeare." So, you know, basically offering that it's an easy read, you know, and it's one you can pick up in parts and pieces. But I will say, you know, the inspiration behind writing the book was I had developed a process, a planning process, Perfect Day. And this process, still to this day, decades in, is the process by which I have cemented my greatest client relationships. So I am a wizard at a spreadsheet. I am a wizard at financial, you know, statements and assessing allocations, all the lights. But when it comes to sitting down and really connecting with someone and listening and hearing to about what the problem that might not even be stated is a skill that I think that the financial industry, the advisement, you know, consulting, financial consulting industry is really lacking. And so I think the process really cements, you know, a touchy-feely approach to planning for those clients. And what I'm really proud of is to say that the planning process is very lifestyle forward. It's not a financial forward, which sort of turns things on its ear. You know, when I have people approach me to say, "Oh my gosh, I need a plan. I need a retirement plan," or "I received X, so I need to, you know, I need to get a plan. Well, it's always about the money, right? It always starts there, but there's so many other things and aspects to look at. So the planning process really brings to light that, you know, I like to say there's four aspects to planning, and not just in money and finance is just a quarter of that.
What are the other three? do our listeners have to read the book?
In the process, we deal with quadrants. So there's wellness. I love talking about our core and our wellness, because you know what? If we're not able to be our best selves, number one, our relationships falter. Number two, our jobs falter. So we're making less money. We're less happy. So your core and your wellness is super important to be able to prioritize that. And then the two other besides, you know, financial of the quadrants, one is experiential. So like, how are you growing? How are you learning more? What's your growth trajectory? Whether that's travel or higher education or fill in the blank. I've seen a lot. And then my favorite part to talk about, the favorite quadrant or fourth part of the planning process, is looking at philanthropy or contribution. And it doesn't always have to be about who do you financially contribute to or who do you donate to. Contribution is could be all encompassing, and like, how are you leaving this world a better place? How are you giving back? Because happy people are the ones that are giving back. And, you know, in my experience with this process, that brings a tremendous amount of wealth, and it's not just financial wealth.
Yeah. Like, but it's those connections and that being in service of others. Right. And it probably relates too to the growth quadrant that you mentioned. I could see a lot of interplay between the two, right? Where
You absolutely nailed it. There is a lot of, and when I go like this, I'm looking at the modules and the workbooks yeah. that I go through with clients, and we're like, oh, that's in both of those quadrants. And I'm like, that's a win. That's yeah. a win. Yeah. So there is a lot of overlap between wellness or core and what we're doing on a contribution scale and experiential and growth and finance. So there are a lot of overlaps.
Oh, it's yeah, great. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. I also, you know, when you were talking about it, just the, you know, if you're not finding, you know, the philanthropy part where you're not, where you're financially donating or whatever, that is one piece of it. But also like finding where you can be the best help and benefit in your community and building that local community. I find when that's in my own life, I can only talk about my own life, my own experience. When that is missing, like there feels like a big kind of gaping hole in my life. Like everything else seems to be going really well, but like if I don't have that community piece, everything else seems off. It's like it's not all like jiving in the right direction.
Right. And on the other end of that spectrum, when you are playing in that community space, and by the way, here in Charleston, we are launching a community called Investing in Women. So in this community, on the other end of that spectrum, Leah, is you leave these gatherings just completely full. Like your cup is like running over with, you know, how am I? There's enough hours in the day to, you know, follow up and do all the things, you know, and can reconnect with all the people you've met. So it is inspiring and it is important to have that community around you.
Yes,
absolutely. And the other day I was having a very bad day and I was like, I have to like do something to get out of the bad day. Mm. And I just went to the store and bought some cookies and I brought them to a group of women that work at a like a local thrift store that I go to very often. And nice. they work so hard. And so I just brought them in cookies. Nice. And I was just like, I just wanted to say thanks. And like instantly my day got better. Like I'm sure they enjoy their cookies, but like selfishly, it made my day so much better. Just doing something little and nice for somebody else. And I was like, I need to not wait necessarily for a bad day, but to do more of those little things on a more regular basis, I think.
And there is a framework for that. So, you know, when I heard you talk about being mindful and philanthropy and giving back and random acts of kindness and things of that nature, I can imagine a lot of your listeners are saying, I mean, I don't have time for that. I'm busy. I'm a mom or I'm a daughter taking care of an aging parent or fill in the blank. And I'm busy with work. I mean, right now it feels like everyone is busy. I don't know if you're experiencing that. But that said, you know, the perfect day framework that I've designed was for someone like me who is the same and I needed some grounding to go, well, wait a minute, how do we put ourselves first to make sure that we are buying the cookies before we go, I don't feel so great. I'm going to go out and buy cookies. Because most people, Leah, do not get in that mindset of when they're stuck that they go, I'm going to get unstuck and go to the store and buy. Most people don't do that. So the 411 framework and the four is those quadrants we just talked about. The 411 framework with perfect day process is touching on each of those little quadrants before 11 a.m. So it may be a text. It may be an hour-long project, deep dive into something experiential. It may be a very long workout. It may be 3 minutes of meditation. But your 411ing, which is doing the four things before 11 a.m., what that does is you can find yourself, and this was a true story. When I first cemented this framework, I had worked, I was traveling for business, and I 411ed at the gym of the hotel and did all my things. And I get to the airport, and guess what? My flight's canceled. However, it was at that moment, it was like, it's still a perfect day because I've already 411ed. So give yourself the best by 411ing and touching on those aspects that are important to you and aligned with your goals. And let life happen. And then, for the most part, you can call it a perfect day.
Well, and it's such a level of personal agency and accountability, meaning you have the power, but also you have the responsibility to shape your day by
powerful words. Yes.
Yeah.
Agency and accountability. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Wow. Okay. Well, I could go deep on these sorts of things. We've been talking about.
I'll send you a 411 booklet.
Yes.
We got them.
Yes.
And you can jot your four little things every day and you can hold yourself accountable. And I want to hear if you're having more perfect days.
So before we get to our next question, we just want to say that we are just so, so proud about partnering with Extella, where exceptional service is the standard.
Yes, Extella elevates and empowers financial professionals to build a stellar practice and leave a lasting impact for their clients. Explore how Extella goes above and beyond for their professionals by visiting go.extella.com/womenshare. That's go.extella.com/womenshare. Women share. So, Koki, back to you. We share a passion for creating an inclusive space for women to thrive in this industry. And we love that you are putting your money where your mouth is at Alpha Vest. So we want to hear a little bit more about the story of, like, why was building an all-female firm important to you? And what do you hope to see come from all of this work that you're doing?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't start where I am now. So there's been many pivots along the way, but my short answer is I woke up about 2 years ago and looked around the table, and I was yet again entrenched with another very successful financial practice. I was number two at the firm, and I looked around and I was yet again at the table, you know, with all male partners. And, you know, there were some other things that also affected it, which was, you know, geographically and time and space, et cetera. But I'll say this, the most powerful thing that I've done was to stand up and just say, this isn't working. I'm not impacting anybody here, or not at least to the level I'd like to be. And that was when I fully decided I'd like Alpha Vest to be fully female and recruiting female-only advisors. And, you know, it's driven a little out of what I would call, you know, being opportunistic. Yet it's driven really mostly by my passion to serve women, as well as to demystify just the field of finance and investing. You know, there's a big, at least for almost my entire career, I've felt this sort of internal beacon that's sort of anti-Wall Street, if you will. Like, those are the people who make all the money. And how do I, you know, how do I not get screwed? And, you know, said that to myself at 18, right? So I just would like to be a part of people having a good experience investing and not being taken advantage of. And while that sounds all do-gooder, everyone knows, I think most people know, that there is a major wealth transfer happening here in the United States where, you know, in the next 5 to 7 years, you know, women are going to be controlling 2/3 of the wealth in the United States alone. There's a problem, however, because I go to all the wealth management conferences and I can look around and 20% of us are women in the room. And I can promise you half of us are wives. And the problem with that is these women who are going to be burdened with, empowered by managing this newfound wealth, want to do business with women, and they're just really not available. Mm-hmm. There are only 25% of us are certified financial planners.
Yeah.
Why? You know, that's a problem. So I saw a problem to solve for. And so that's really what threw me into this. I, you know, I'm old enough that I've been around the block a bit. I decided I'm going to turn with what's been a great career into a passion project and hopefully serve, you know, the needs of women going forward.
That's awesome. And I mean, so it's spanned, you know, like you said, 29 years, almost three decades. So you've made this shift in the last few years, but coming into the industry, how have you seen it change? And now that you're having more of like a direct effect in how it's changing, where do you see some areas where we kind of, as a collective of women in the industry, can be doing more or showing up better?
I mean, we need to be investing in women. You know, so my hire decisions, will I not hire a male? Not necessarily. But my framework for everything I do right now in my life is about investing in women. And because, not because I'm anti-male, but because I believe that diversity brings better outcomes. And better outcomes means better outcomes for me, better outcomes for Joe, better outcomes for Steve and Tom, all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm about better outcomes. And we can't get there without diverse perspectives and more women in the field. Yes, we have. It's changed a lot. I was the only woman in a brokerage office here in Charleston of, I don't know how many male brokers we had, probably 30. And I was the only woman. Now you might find a handful more of female advisors, you know, vis-a-vis that of their male counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
But still, astoundingly, you know, women fund managers are 10 to 12% of the population. I mean, private equity, 10 to 12% of the managers are female. And what we now know, because guess what? Vanguard, we finally now have 20-year data, right?
Yeah.
Men have been studied for, you know, since the beginning of the S&P 500 in the early 1900s in their management performance. We now finally have statistics, and it's showing that diverse teams, and specifically female-led teams, are actually outperforming the non-diverse or their male counterpart or all male-led fund managers or fund teams. So that, again, also breeds better outcomes. The statistics also show that not only are women managers outperforming, they're actually delivering it with less risk. And in this market right now, who wouldn't want better returns with less risk, right? And better outcomes, better perspectives, different perspectives. So I hope I've answered your question. But I have certainly seen a lot shift in the industry, but it's just not enough. And I have a few other theories about that. You know, just relative to just gender biases and in the care economy, you know, women are actually entering the field of finance, they say, at the same pace as men. So why aren't they staying in is the question I'm often faced with. And I think, you know, from a gender perspective, it typically does roll downhill to us with respect to, oh, Timmy's got a cold and needs to be picked up from school. So it's the mom who does it. So, I mean, that has shifted a lot. I bet you agree with me.
Yeah.
But it's still there. And then the same also with aging, the aging population. Most, you know, daughters or daughters-in-law are faced with helping taking care of aging parents as opposed to that of, say, their male counterparts. So that said, I mean, like I said, I've seen a lot of changes in the industry, but we have a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, and I think the investing in women angle, to your point, it's both from a hiring standpoint, but also we've talked a lot about like mentorship and how are we supporting each other. And I think part of the the mission of the show is around how, you know, even you coming on and sharing your insight, right, is a way of supporting other women and investing in them. It's like this, all boats rise when we are generous with our insights, with our best practices, whatever it may be, right, to help others and kind of don't hold it tightly out of a mentality of scarcity, but just like, I think it's just the different definitions of investing in each other is what was coming to mind as you were talking about that. So I think that's important.
It also reminded me of the Carson Group's research. We had them on over a year ago about when they did their first women in wealth management study, and they're in the process of doing their second one now. And, you know, when you're asking the question of like, I'm not exactly sure, I'm sure there's like a lot of different factors. You know, I think that there was a mentality, they called it the queen bee effect, right? Where a lot of the women that had kind of risen to the top had to scratch and claw their way there and didn't necessarily bring other women with them. And that resonates. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we all kind of had similar experiences at some point in our career. And now the current study, I'm excited to see what they come back with, is around creating a pathway for success for women in the industry. Working with women who have reached a certain level of success, and creating almost like a framework and a pathway for other women instead of, well, here you go. Best of luck. Hope you end up with a good mentor. And actually creating, you know, more specific pathways for different areas of the industry so that there is that framework rather than like, let's just see what happens, right? And I think that can, if we're all focused on that, which it sounds like you are doing in your firm as well, Koki, is, you know, being able to create space for women with a framework of this is how we, you know, help each other. To your point, Joanna, where all boats rise.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, so time for one of our favorite questions. Koki, what's the best career advice you've received?
This is a fun story. And the advice came from Bev. Beverly was our front desk clerk. She was probably in her early 70s, and I had just returned back to work after having my second child. And my two were 20 months apart. So I, you know, had a toddler and, you know, a baby. And honestly, she caught me beleaguered, you know, at the water cooler. And I was taking a moment, like if I'm speaking unfettered, I just had to close the door, pull the blinds, had to pump, put the milk in the freezer with the notes. Don't drink this. You don't want the, you know, it was, this is the thing, you know, it was with 30 men in the office. And this is the mountain I was climbing then. And she caught me in the midst of all of that. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm exhausted. And, you know, I probably looked horrible. And Bev caught me at the water cooler and she said, what are you doing? I said, what, you know, are you thinking about quitting? And I said, I mean, maybe, you know, I'm tired.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, yeah.
And yeah. She said, and you know, this isn't going to go over, you know, maybe this would go over 50-50 with your listeners, at least those who might be moms. And it's not for everybody. So I'm not judging, but this really was the best career advice for me. She said, let me tell you, are you thinking about those kids at home? And I just looked at her and I was like, well, it'd be nice to be at home with them. It's easier. And she said, those children don't need you right now. She said, those children need you when they're 13 and they get off the bus from school. So get back to work. And I thought about what she said and it worked. She was right. I mean, so Perfect Day in the process and 411ing has helped me be more conscious with my kids before they turned 13. But I will say that we as moms and maybe women tend to feel like we need to wear more hats than I think our men friends. I don't know if you agree. And those hats can become pretty serious. And of course, it's, you know, if something's up with the kids, it's I'm in. It's all me. But the fact and just the perspective of this wise woman who had, you know, raised children and had a long career, and just for her to share with me that, you know what, you can give yourself a break. Nobody's going to die. You're not going to be imparting, you know, Shakespearean advice, you know, between now and age 13. And make sure you build a career so that you can be there and have more flexibility when they do get home and get off the bus and are ornery and don't want to talk to you, so that you really push into, you know, what's going on. So I think, I don't know if that's exactly what you were aiming for, but that's the best advice that I got at a young age. And I'm happy that I took her up on it.
I think that's fantastic. And I think we all need a Bev in our life who just like gives it to you straight when they can read what's going on. And they're like, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Exactly. That's exactly. Fantastic.
And she probably, you know, threw it out there and didn't think anything about it.
Right.
Meanwhile, cut to 25 years later, that's still something that resonates with you.
100%. And Beverly, awesome. Wherever you may be, thank you.
So as you know, we are a celebration of women in financial services. So we love to celebrate something with you, whether it's work-related, personal-related. What can we celebrate with you today?
Well, I am almost a year into a new knee. And, you know, knee surgery as an alpine climber is often you never know. But I just got off a couple volcanoes a few weeks ago, and the knee is working perfectly. And I'm excited to say that I have rebooked and I'll be back climbing in Nepal in the fall. So on a personal side, I'm just thrilled that my knees are doing good at 52 and that I get to keep climbing. So thank you for that opportunity to celebrate.
Oh my gosh.
We don't always smell the roses, do we, ladies?
Yes, love that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, and I've had actually some friends have to get knees and hips replaced. And it's like the freedom from chronic pain and to get back to mm-hmm. really doing
yeah.
like, it's so, I don't think you realize how much it impacts you until it's gone. Right.
Absolutely. Well said. Yes.
Oh, so happy to hear that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know. How does time fly so fast? This has been such
a fantastic
conversation. And I want to talk more about all of the other endeavors outside of AlphaVest and your book. But just thank you, Koki, for being here and sharing your story and your advice. If people want to connect with you or work with you, what's the best way for someone to find you?
You know, I love personal outreach. And whether that's, you know, text or email and following up and getting on my calendar, I would just love to have a conversation with any woman who is either struggling in finance or is looking to come into the field. I struggle, you know, connection is since COVID is harder and harder these days. So Koki@alphavest.com or via our website, you know, which is alphavest.com. So I would love for, any of your viewers or listeners to reach out, jump on my calendar and let's have a phone call.
Oh, what a generous offer too, especially for people thinking of coming into the industry. So we'll make sure that's linked related to this show on our website. So thank you for that.
Great. Thank you, ladies. And kudos to you for building this community and this platform, because we all need to have a voice and be able to listen to others that are leading and investing in women. So I thank you so much, because it's... you can't have too much of it. Just like women in the industry and finance, there's room for all of us. So let's do it. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you. And thank you for saying that so much. This is our passion project. So, we just appreciate all the love and support and thank you again so much for being here. And thank you to our sponsor, Extella, a network of firms that elevates every experience for their financial professionals. Visit go.extella.com/womenshare. That's go.extella.com/womenshare. And that really is our show for today. If ours is a mission that you want to share in, subscribe to the show on your very favorite platform. And with that, I'm Leah Alter.
And I'm Joanna Erisman, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Women Share.